Hi, I'm Julie Malik Hidayat. I'm a principal here at Abbott Stringham & Lanch, and I'm representing today the Family Wealth Planning Group here at the firm. I'm here talking with Anu Joshi. Anu is one of our tax managers with the Family Wealth Group, and she's written an article this month for our newsletter. The newsletter is the ASL Advisor, and it's about titling of assets. So Anu, let's just talk about a little bit. The article is centered around how assets are titled and how that might impact what happens when a person dies. So why is that important?
So Julie, the reason why titling is important is because in most cases, it'll decide how the asset is distributed after the death of a person. So that's where it becomes very important.
So when we talk about titling of assets, that also includes titling into a living trust, is that right?
Yes, that's correct. So a lot of people think that when you have a will, you've made a will and you have a trust agreement in place, that's it, you're done. But that's a very common misconception. You have to actually change the title of the asset to make it in the name of the trust. So the way the asset takes title would be, it'll be titled in the name of the trustee and, you know, ABC Revocable Living Trust. Unless you do the retitling of these assets, they are not considered to be part of the trust, and so the provisions of the trust agreement will not apply unless you retitle them.
So then, say I thought I had titled everything in the name of the trust, but I didn't. A lot of times there's a default titling, or we've chosen something when we purchased an asset. So if I haven't, in fact, changed the title of my assets into the name of the trustee of my living trust or my revocable trust, what happens to those assets when I die?
Right. So I think you brought up an important point that what title did you take when you bought the asset? So I'm going to talk about three types of titles that are common, in which assets are commonly held. One is just simple sole ownership. So it's a single entity or an individual taking ownership of the asset. If the asset is titled in the name of a sole owner, then typically if you don't have any provisions in the trust agreement, it'll have to be distributed according, it'll basically be subject to probate. So it'll go through the probate court, and then that is when it'll be decided how the asset is going to be distributed. The second type of title is joint tenancy. This is where two or more people hold title with equal rights to enjoy the property during their lives. So if one person passes away, then the rights of the ownership will automatically pass on to the surviving owner. So if you have an asset that's titled as a joint tenant and you don't have a will or a living trust in place, then the title will automatically go to the other person who's holding it with you. Another variation of joint tenancy is another type of taking title is tenancy in common. In this case, also, two or more people will hold the title jointly, and they'll have equal rights to enjoy the property during their lifetime. How it differs from joint tenancy is that your portion of the asset that you own as a tenant in common can be distributed according to how you want it to be distributed. So it won't automatically go to the surviving owners, but it'll depend on if you have retitled it to the trust or you have a will, what does it say? If there's nothing, again, if you don't have a will or a living trust, then it'll be subject to probate.
Thanks, Anu. These are actually types of ways of titling the assets. In California, and California is one of the few community property states in the country, and community property is a little different by each state, but in California, the way it works is it's really a legal form of owning property that doesn't necessarily have to do with the way you titled it. So for example, we know that if a husband and wife purchased property with funds that were considered to be community property funds, that even if that property is titled in the name of one of the spouses, both spouses actually have an equal 50-50% community property interest, which means that they each have a right, similar to the tenancy in common version that you just talked about. Each of those spouses has the right to determine when they die who will be the heir to their 50% of that property. And that happens automatically. So again, this is not a written form of titling in this case. It's just a legal concept for community property. But when we talk about legal titling, there actually is a form of community property titling that you can choose when you purchase an asset. Can you tell us about that one?
Sure. So that is called community property with right of survivorship. So what happens in that case is that you have an asset that is held as community property, but if you hold it as with right of survivorship, then when, let's say, the husband passes away, the wife gets 100% of the asset versus just 50%. And so that's how it's different from just titling an asset as community property.
Okay, well, so that makes sense. So in this case, when you're choosing to title your property as community property with right of survivorship, then you don't choose who gets that property. It automatically goes to the survivor. So we've talked about, again, forms of titling. Are there some assets where it doesn't matter how you title the asset?
That's correct. There are some assets where even if you're saying they are in the name of the trust, that really is not taken into account because they are certain type of accounts which are distributed according to the beneficiary designations. So some examples are if you have your retirement plan account, like a 401k or your individual retirement account. Another example is life insurance. Yet another example is a payable on death kind of account. In all of these cases, when you set up the asset or you set up the account, you have to specify who will get the proceeds upon your death. So basically you designate a beneficiary, and that is how the asset will get transferred after you pass away. So it's not dependent on what your will or trust agreement says. It's basically dependent on the beneficiary designations.
That's true. And ideally, in a perfect world, everyone would have their beneficiary designations all filled out and completed, and nothing would change, and everything would go according to plan. But as we've seen and we know, a lot of times either they're not filled out at all, or there may have been filled out, but there were changes in family circumstances, like a divorce or a marriage or a death of a child, that might make those beneficiary designations ineffective. And in those cases, there are default rules generally through the organization that's issuing the account or managing the account that would determine what happened. So it is important to double check your beneficiary designations every couple of years, and especially when there's a change in family circumstances, to make sure that your assets are actually going to go where you think they're going to go. Because again, the trust with these specific types of assets is not going to determine who inherits those types of assets. Are there any other issues related to titling that have to do with what happens at death that's not related to who gets the asset, but how it's treated?
Sure. So the one thing that usually happens is what is called a step up. That would be another issue that would have to be taken into account when you're looking at the title. So like the amount of step up that you get is also dependent on the way the asset is held.
And what does step up refer to?
So by step up, I mean you look at the asset value as of the date of death of that person, and that becomes the cost basis of that asset.
And so this is an income tax issue.
That's correct.
And so normally where the cost basis would be where someone purchased the asset, when you inherit the asset, most times cost basis then becomes, you get a stepped up to the fair market value.
That's correct.
And so how does the form of title impact that? Joint tenancy being one example.
So if you have a joint tenancy where two people are holding title and the title automatically passes to the other person, then the portion that you owned of that particular asset as a joint tenant will get stepped up as of your date of death.
Whereas in community property, it's the opposite. The spouse who inherits community property, 100% of community property gets stepped up at death. Even though only one of the spouses died owned 50%, you get 100% step up. So it's important not just to know just because you and your spouse own an asset as joint tenancy and they will get it, they'll only get a 50% step up if they own an asset and the spouse dies under joint tenancy, whereas under community property right of ownership, they get a 100% step up in tax basis. So there are, as you're telling us, there are other issues besides who gets it,
title.
Mm-hmm. Other characteristics that are important and that are impacted by the form of title.
Right.
Well, thank you, Anu, for talking about titling with us today. We don't have time today to go into all the details of the income tax side of it, which is, of course, very critical when you have a family member who passes away. But that's something that we're always here to help with. If anyone has questions on the titling or the income tax basis or the general administration of an estate, Family Wealth Group is here to help. Please feel free to contact us, email, phone call.
Thank you, Julie.